Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let us pray. We thank thee, God, for the clarity of the gospel. We pray that thou wilt write it upon the tables of our hearts for our comfort and assurance and for thy glory. Through Christ our Savior. Amen. You're saved by faith plus nothing. Faith without your good works. Faith without the deeds of the law. This is the gospel truth the Reformers brought back to light with Luther and then Calvin and then Knox and others, that transformed Europe from a place of gross superstition into the great Western civilization it became through Christianity. First, Paul proved that the heathen are lost. They're not innocent because they don't have the law, they don't have a revelation of God that we have. God's revealed himself to them in nature, and they rejected that and built idols instead. God wrote his law in their hearts, and they break that law because they're by nature sinners. They're corrupt, depraved. And so the heathen are lost without Christ. Then he turned to the Jews. He said, well, you Jews are just as lost as the heathen. You know why? You'll be judged by the same law they are. You're sinners. If you die without a Savior, you're as lost as the heathen. In fact, you'll be punished more because you sinned against greater light. Well, the Jews said, well, we have all these privileges. God gave us the law. He didn't give it to the heathen. He gave us the sacrament of circumcision. He called us children of Abraham. And Paul says, those are all great things, but they don't save your soul. You're still sinners. You'll be judged by the law. So that brings the question we looked at last week. If in spite of our privileges, Jews say, we stand condemned the same as the Gentiles, what advantage is there of being a Jew? Well, Paul says there are a lot of advantages. You know, you have a clearer revelation of God than the heathen have. You have a clearer revelation of his law than they have. You have many blessings. You have the covenant of grace, which is fine, but you've broken it. So you're condemned just like the heathen. The whole world is sunk in sin and is condemned before God without Christ. Now that's a hard saying. The problem many Christians have with understanding that is they don't really know how serious sin is. In fact, many Christians can't define sin. I think it was at a Wednesday night meeting I shared this, that I was talking to a friend of mine who's a Baptist deacon. He's in a Bible-believing Baptist church. He's a born-again Christian. I forget what the conversation was. I said, can you define sin? He couldn't. He could not define what sin is. I said, there's one definition of sin in the Bible. It's a formal definition. A formal definition when you say this is that. Sin is transgression of the law of God. That's what sin is. In other words, if God has made a rule and you break it, you're a sinner. And God's a God of infinite holiness. He can't tolerate any sin. I think people often miss the fact that what brought the world into death upon the whole human race was a single sin that we would think was very minor. That's how serious sin is. Adam and Eve's one, what we would call a very minor sin, brought God's curse and death upon the entire human race for all these thousands of years. One sin. God's infinitely holy. One sin makes you a sinner. So we need to understand how serious sin is. Then we need to understand something else that makes this idea of all men being condemned hard. And that's common grace. You say, well, I know a lot of people who are, you know, they're Christians, but they're not saved, or they're another religion, or they don't have any religion, but they're really nice people. They're good people. They're kind people. That's called common grace. God restrains their evil, which they are by nature, and he promotes the good through them. And he doesn't do that for their sakes. He does it for your sake. He does it for the sake of the church, to make life tolerable in a sinful world. He restrains their sin. But when these nice, kind, unsaved people die, God will remove their common grace, and they'll be as bad as the devil himself. They'll be what they are by nature, with all common grace removed. And if you could see them in hell, they would curse you to your face and wish you could be there with them. That's why justification by faith in Christ is such a vital teaching. This is a fallen world under God's wrath and curse. It's the only way out that God has provided. The heathen are not going to get a pass because they're innocent, noble savages. The Jews are not going to get a pass because they're the chosen people. A sinner is a sinner. And without a Savior, a sinner is lost. Now let's begin with verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. In the previous verses, which we saw last week, Paul has agreed that the Jews had many privileges. So the question arises, if God has given us these privileges, he didn't give the Gentiles, doesn't that mean we're better? Paul says, no, not at all. Privileges don't make you a better person. Some of the most privileged people on earth are not better. Some of the most wealthy, famous people on earth are wicked. They're not better. Who in the world is under the curse of sin? He says, Jews and Gentiles. In other words, all humans. And he wants to prove that point now, and he'll do so from the Jewish scriptures. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. This is a quote from Psalm 14. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, that's the human race, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Nobody's seeking God. If you take a course in comparative religion in any modern college, you will hear things like, all roads lead to Rome. I mean, there's one God, and all religions of the world are just different ways of getting to that one God. They're all seeking God in different ways. That's not what God says. God says, no one is seeking me. If he doesn't come, if he doesn't come seeking you and save you, you'll never seek him. They're all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. The Jew and the Gentile all belong to a depraved human race. They've all gone out of the way. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Not in any absolute sense of the pure holiness of God. Now, Paul is reading here from the Jewish scriptures. And they're not just talking about Gentiles. You're talking about the behavior of the Jews as well. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Sound familiar? Sins of the tongue. Lies. Poisonous speech, cursing, and anger. Their feet are swift to shed blood. This is the human race we're born into. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. Can you have any knowledge of the history of the world and not see how true this is? Their feet are swift to shed blood. The way of peace they have not known. World War I was a horrible, bloody war. But at least it was a war to end all wars. Except instead of ending all wars, it laid the groundwork for World War II, which was far worse, and also gave us communism, fascism. I remember when World War II was over. There was such euphoria, there was such happiness, peace at last. This terrible World War. August, I think it was, 1945. Then within 5 years, we're back at war in a place nobody in America had heard of, called Korea. Before the war, most Americans didn't know much about geography that far east. Now everybody knows about Korea because we had a horrible war there, 5 years after World War II. Less than 10 years later, we're down in the swamps of Vietnam. And then we're over in the sandbox in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now they're rattling sabers over Taiwan and Ukraine. This is the whole history of the world, the way of peace they have not known. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Depraved human nature. There is no fear of God before their eyes. What a summary of all this wickedness. You know why there's no fear of God? I spoke recently on the fear of God. The fear of God means two things. The fear of God means a respect or a reverence for God. And many Christians I've heard say, well, you're not supposed to be afraid of God. It just means you're supposed to reverence him. Well, you are supposed to reverence him, but you better be afraid of him. You know why? He chastens every son whom he receives. You know, I loved and respected my father, but I was afraid of his spankings. Kept me out of trouble sometimes. Not successfully all the time, but God can punish those whom he saves. You think of King David. He was born again, justified by faith, and yet what he committed, adultery and then murder, God punished him for the rest of his life. He went to heaven at last, but God punished him. Now, that's something you should fear. The fear of God. But the unsaved aren't afraid of God. They don't think they're going to be punished in this world or the next. They think hell's a joke. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Why? By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Why? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law can't forgive your sins. It can just accuse you of sin. It has no way of emancipating you from the sin that it accuses you of. So the law can't save you because all it does is condemn you. That every mouth may be stopped. We have no excuse. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Well, Paul's proved you can't be made right with God by your works, by the law. So he says there is a way to be right with God, but it's without the law. Now, is this some kind of New Testament heresy Paul's bringing to these Jews? Salvation without the law? Paul says no. It's found in your own Jewish scriptures, the law and the prophets. It's witnessed by them. Justification by faith is all through the Old Testament. It's the only way they were saved back then. It's the only way people have ever been saved. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. The righteousness of God. Well, you need to be righteous with God to be saved, and you have not righteousness of your own. But there's a righteousness you can have, and that's a gift of God, His righteousness, that He gives you when you trust in Christ. And you see, we say we're saved by faith. Faith is not something that pays for your sins. It has no merit or value of its own. Faith is simply an instrument, an empty hand that receives the gift of salvation. Some people think, well, you can't be saved, but your works aren't good enough, but your faith is good enough. No, God is not rewarding your faith. Your faith takes you to Jesus, and Jesus does the saving. So in a sense, the faith doesn't save you. You're saved through the faith, not because of it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, think of Adam and Eve. One sin, the whole world under curse and death. And here we have all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Isaiah 43, the Lord said, I have created you for my glory. God created you for his glory and me for his glory. But we have all come short of it. Being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely by his grace. Now, as a zealous religious Jew, Paul had hoped that by his faithfulness to the law, by his service to God, that at the end of his course, God would pronounce him righteous. But the way of righteousness is actually reversed. God pronounces you righteous not at the end of your course, at the beginning. As soon as you're saved, he pronounces you righteous with the righteousness of Christ. You know, the prologue of the Ten Commandments, which you hear every Sunday, shows you that pattern. I've brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage. Now here's my law for you to live by. He didn't say, here's my law. If you keep this, I'll save you. He said, I have saved you. And wasn't that all grace? Put the blood of the lamb over the door. Faith in the blood of the lamb. They're saved by the faith, the blood of the lamb. And delivered. And now they're given the law to live by. Not to be saved by. Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. He's a propitiation. He has made an atonement, an at-one-ment, which is literally what this is. And the only theological word that's actually English, at-one-ment. He makes you at one with God. The human conscience has always had a sense of a need for an atonement with God or the gods. You know, maybe we can avoid a hurricane if we throw a live virgin into the volcano. That will make the gods happy. Sacrifice, to make an atonement. Whether the animal sacrifices of the Jews or the sacrifices of the Gentiles, there's this need in the human heart that was fulfilled only by the one true, once and for all time sacrifice of the Son of God for the elect whom God had given to him. And through that atonement, you are at one with God. You can come boldly to the throne of grace to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that means God's, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. So this answers the question, and the Roman Catholics never understood this, how could God say you're just when you're actually not? How can he say you're innocent when you're not innocent? But that's what he does. Because they say, well, a just judge wouldn't do that. He's a just judge because he's going strictly by the law. And the law has been fulfilled by your substitute. So he can be perfectly just and honest in saying you're innocent because you have the righteousness of Christ given to you. And your sin was given to him. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Where is boasting then? There is no boasting that you and I can do as Christians. You know, boasting is for the unsaved. You know, I'm a good person. I don't hurt anybody. I'm not like other people. I don't need your religion. I'm a good person. The Christian doesn't say that. The Christian says, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I mean, I run across this all the time. Well, I know you're saved, Reverend. You know, you're a good person. I say, I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace alone. Nothing to boast of, is there, when we consider that God the Father chose you. He elected you before he made the world. He elected you to be saved. 2,000 years ago, God the Son came and paid for your sins. And then at God's appointed time, God the Holy Spirit came to you and made you a new person who would love Jesus and believe in him and be saved. It's all of him. That's why the Reformers said, soli Deo gloria. Only to God and all to God be the glory. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There's a sum of St. Paul's whole teaching on salvation. You're justified by faith plus nothing. Faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it as one God, which will justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. One God made the whole human race through Adam and Eve. This one God will justify the whole human race in the same way, by faith in the one Savior. Whether Jew or Gentile. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Well, if we're justified by faith without the deeds of the law, doesn't that invalidate the law? Doesn't that make it meaningless? Paul says, no, that establishes the law. The gospel is Christ fulfilling the law perfectly, everything it requires. So you're justified by faith without the deeds of the law, without your own works. There is no other true gospel. Amen. Dear Lord, we do thank thee for this good news. That is such an amazing message, that Jesus has done it all. The Father has loved us and sent him to save us. Jesus came to save us, and the Holy Ghost came to save us. And it's all of thee, Lord, none of us. All we contributed was our sin. Amen.